Welcome to All Saints Fordham and Eightash Green. My name is Francis Blight, and this is the Gafcon Sunday service for the 28th of June 2020. In today's service, we will focus on the Global Anglican Fellowship around the world, Gafcon. We continue our summer teaching from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and look forward to today's sermon from Paul Southern, entitled Joy, Purpose and Blessing Through Difficult Times. All the content that you need to participate in today's service can be found in a Bible and the notice sheet. You can access the notice sheet through the church website. Alongside this podcast, there's a children's YouTube teaching video and accompanying printable resource sheets. In this week's video, Ruth Reynolds looks at the story of Nehemiah's building project in the Old Testament to give us hope as the government eases the lockdown. Well, as we begin, let's prepare our hearts to worship God. A verse from today's Bible reading as we come to pray. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul wrote regarding his imprisonment. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now and we seek you. We open our hearts to you, asking that you will draw us to focus on you. We come seeking encouragement, seeking hope and joy to sustain us during the coronavirus pandemic. And following Paul's example, we pray for the advance of your good news gospel during this disorientating season. Call people into your kingdom. And on this Gafcon Sunday, we pray for the strengthening of your Anglican Church here in England and around the world, that the true gospel will be guarded and faithfully proclaimed in this new millennium. We pray these things in Jesus' name. In our opening hymn, we focus our hearts upwards to heaven. Jesus, our great high priest, is there, and he has united us with himself through his blood shed on the cross. Thank you.
Christ, my Savior and my God. With Christ, my Savior and my God.
Yes, we celebrate you now, Lord Jesus. COVID-19 and the lockdown have brought many different difficulties upon us, to our families and to our nation. We come to you now bringing our personal struggles and burdens. And we thank you that you, Jesus, have done the one most important thing for us, satisfying God's justice on the cross and giving us an eternal place in your kingdom. Thank you that you love us. Where we have sinned, where we are guilty, we bring those things to you now using the words of the confession on page 3 of the service sheet. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue in prayer with the GAFCON Collect. Eternal God and gracious Father, whose blessed Son Jesus Christ died for our redemption, commissioned his disciples to preach the good news, and sent the indwelling Holy Spirit in every generation to embrace and proclaim salvation in Christ alone. Arise and defend your church, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Shine the light of your holy word upon hearts darkened by error, and strengthen the work of GAFCON so that the Anglican Communion throughout the world proclaims Christ faithfully to the nations, that captives may be set free, the straying rescued, and the confused restored. Bind your children together in truth, love, unity, and courage, that we, with all your saints, may inherit your eternal kingdom through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's find out a bit more about GAFCON.
Here is the church.
Here is the steeple.
Open the doors
and see all the people.
There are approximately 85 million Christians in the worldwide Anglican Communion.
The majority of them are represented by GAFCON.
But what exactly is GAFCON? The Global Anglican Future Conference, or GAFCON, is a movement of global Anglicans within the Communion whose mission is to guard the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim him to the world. GAFCON is active in 6 continents with the participation of 11 provinces led by a primate or archbishop and 7 branches. GAFCON was formed in 2008 when over 1,000 bishops, clergy, and lay leaders met in Jerusalem to restore the Bible to the heart of the Anglican Communion. Since then, 2 more conferences have been held every 5 years, and in 2018 nearly 2,000 were present. GAFCON continues to encourage a growing number of global Anglicans to proclaim Christ faithfully as they resist compromise and submit to the authority of Scripture. GAFCON is passionate about bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to all nations. For this reason, 10 global networks have been launched to share relevant knowledge and experience and coordinate in their areas of expertise. You see, GAFCON is more than a conference where delegates from around the world meet every 5 years. It is a global family of authentic Anglicans standing together to guard and proclaim the unchanging truth of God's Word in a changing world. It is a movement of like-minded, confessing Anglicans proclaiming Christ faithfully.
Our Old Testament Bible reading is Psalm 67. Grace Lee is going to read it for us.
Today's Bible reading comes from Psalm 67, starting at verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. May your ways be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We come to declare our Christian faith together. The words of the Nicene Creed are on page 2 of the service sheet. Today we declare this historic statement of faith with members of the GAFCON family around the world.
We believe in one God,
the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is visible and invisible.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
one being with the Father.
Truth is, all things we are made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven,
was incarnate from the Holy Spirit,
and the Virgin Mary,
and was made man.
For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again.
In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven,
and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified,
who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
We acknowledge one baptism
for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians will be read by Linda Davis.
Today's reading comes from Philippians. It's chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, and can be found on page 1178 of your church Bible. That's Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through to 18, located on page 1178. Paul's chains advance the gospel. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. And this is the word of the Lord. If ever there was a time to be studying Paul's letter to the Philippians, this is it. I've given a title to my sermon, Joy.
purpose and blessing through difficult times. Like a stick of seaside rock, Philippians has joy stamped right through it. Joy is important in the Christian life. Jesus said as much and wants us to have joy and shows us how we can have it. John in his Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 11, records that at the Last Supper, just before Jesus went to his death on the cross, he told his disciples that he wanted his joy to be in them, so that their joy would be complete. Who would not want their joy to be complete this morning? I certainly do. The Oxford Dictionary's definition of joy is great pleasure and happiness. I prefer the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology definition of joy. It's a bit wordier, but over the years has been very special to me. Joy is a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. From a biblical perspective, it is not limited by nor tied solely to external circumstances. Joy is a gift of God. It can be experienced even in the midst of extremely difficult circumstances. Joy is a constant mark of both the individual believer and the believing community. It is a quality of life and not simply a fleeting emotion. Joy is not an isolated or occasional consequence of faith, but rather an integral part of one's whole relationship to God. When you contrast this with happiness, tied literally to what happens to us, happiness is indeed thin gruel. Here's some good news. The Keep Smiling School of Applied Psychology is not even remotely related to the joy that comes through faith in Christ. And here's a quote I really love. True Christian joy is the heart's response to the Lord's song of love. True Christian joy is the heart's response to the Lord's song of love. We can be robbed of joy. You don't need me to tell you that. First of all, let's have a think about Paul the amazing apostle. As a Church of England minister, I've often reflected upon what a blessing and challenge it is to be called Paul. Paul didn't require or want anyone's admiration. He was a man of real humility. Indeed, when writing his first letter to Timothy, he said, "Here's a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, so that Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." 1 Timothy chapter 1. Meeting with Jesus not only changed his name from Saul to Paul, but this man who had once persecuted the Christian church big time had met with Jesus on that Damascus road. He became an apostle, which simply means a sent one, sent by God. Writing his first letter to the church in Corinth, he said, "Imitate me. Do what I do in my way of life in Christ Jesus, which," he said, "is what I teach everywhere." 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When we come to look at chapter 2 of Philippians, Paul tells us, "The believers, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus." And he goes on to spell out what that should be. We'll be looking at that in the future. So this was Paul's attitude. Philippi was an important commercial centre of ancient Macedonia under Roman rule, a colony of the empire. It's fascinating to think that Paul ended up in Philippi as a result of responding to a dream he had about a man calling him to go to Macedonia to help the believers. You can read about this in Acts chapter 16. I think it was divine providence, and that's worthy of a sermon of its own. So Paul and his companion Silas travelled, picking up Timothy on the way. Timothy was a young man commended by the Christian community in Lystra, and in around 49-50 AD, Paul founded a church in Philippi on his second missionary journey, his first European church. They had only just arrived, and after speaking to a group of women, one of them, Lydia, opened her heart to God's message, and she and her household were baptized. She invited Paul and his companions to stay with her family. "If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord," she said. Paul founded this church on love and leads the church by love. The love that Jesus had poured out upon him, he lavishes upon them. Look back at verse 7 in this first chapter of Philippians, and you will see what to me is one of the most wonderful things you could ever say about anyone. "I have you in my heart." Paul could say that because he was convinced that is how Jesus looked upon him. Just pause for a moment and hear Jesus say that to you. "I have you in my heart." If you believe that, then doesn't it fill you with joy? It is surely an essential mark of a church leader that he can say that of the folk in his care. "I have you in my heart." And we don't have to think too long to come up with the name of a church leader like that, do we? Paul says in verse 8, "God can testify how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." And in chapter 4, verse 1 of this letter, he calls them his joy and his crown. Let's have a look at today's verses in chapter 1. First of all, Paul in chains, verses 12 to 14. Let me read verse 12 to you. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Paul doesn't need or want their sympathy. He's not putting on a brave face, nor is he trying to make the most of a bad situation. He knows that whatever he faces, Christ will be glorified through it and in it, and this is what he lived for, or might one day have to die for. He's never a martyr to the cause, and the focus is always away from himself. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul affirms, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." The word "really," I think, is significant. Much had happened to Paul over the years. This was not his first imprisonment. From the jail in Jerusalem, he appealed as a citizen of Rome to have his case heard in Rome, to where he travelled as a prisoner. There is a wider picture in the "what has happened to me." The biblical scholar and preacher Alec Mateer summarises it like this: "The animosities and bodily pains, the lies, misrepresentations and deceitfulness, the miscarriage of justice, the chains, the mental toil of appealing to Caesar, the nearness of death and the diminution of hope, the triumph of wickedness and continued suppression of the truth has really served to advance the gospel." Let me read verse 13. "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Paul is a prisoner under house arrest in Rome, under Praetorian or palace guard, chained at the wrist to a guard day and night. The guard duty would have been rotated regularly, so the guards themselves were literally a captive audience. The whole palace guard knew he was a prisoner because of his preaching about Jesus Christ. Everyone knew. The news spread like wildfire. These were elite soldiers serving the emperor personally in the imperial palace, at the heart of the place of greatest influence. And of course, Paul talked to them about Jesus, and some believed and carried Paul's message right into the heart of Caesar's palace. So much so that Paul signs off his letter, this letter, chapter 4 and verse 22, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Let me read verse 14. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. News had spread like wildfire in Rome of those who had been chained up to Paul in the imperial guard that have become Christian believers. The effect of this is so astonishing that the Christian believers in Rome have been emboldened in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's courage and boldness rubbed off on them and gave a fresh impetus and urgency in their preaching. The paradox was that Paul was reaching a wider and more influential audience because he is in chains. I wonder if you've ever been in prison. I have. Perhaps I should explain. For some years, I went along with a volunteer chaplain to Chelmsford Prison. He lived in my parish and was amazingly converted one Pentecost Sunday. Sharing the gospel together in prison cells proved such a great encouragement. And I can recall a particular occasion baptizing a prisoner in the chapel and the amazing effect it had not only on his friends, but wider in the prison community, renowned as prisons are for their outright scepticism and cynicism. Somehow this spurred me on and gave my ministry fresh confidence and impetus, an experience I shall always be grateful to the Lord for. So we have Paul in chains, verses 12 to 14, and now the unstoppable gospel, verses 15 to 18. Let me read them to you. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Every preacher has his critics. Other ministers can be jealous of gifted preachers. Listening to other preachers, I sometimes think to myself, I wish I had thought of that. My wife Leslie and I led Master-Son Christian Holidays for a week each year for about 10 years. And the words we didn't want to hear when we got to our destination were, last week's leaders were so brilliant. And I can say it happened more than once. Verses 15 and 17, we see that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, out of selfish ambition. It seems that the true gospel was being preached. The message wasn't the problem, but the motive was for some. They were attempting to undermine Paul's message by casting doubt on his character, stirring up trouble for Paul, probably saying that he was a prisoner because of the Lord's displeasure. And if he really was doing the Lord's work, he would hardly have been captive. In essence, they saw Paul as a threat to their ministries. I'm sure we all recognise that in church life, it can be hard to listen to the constant praise of one person when you are quietly working hard behind the scenes, seemingly barely noticed. The devil certainly knows how to sow seeds of jealousy. Verse 16, but other preachers preached the gospel out of goodwill, standing with Paul, recognising that the Lord had placed Paul there in defence of the gospel. Their motive was a loving one, loving Jesus, passionate for his gospel, and loving Paul, recognising he was a prisoner because of his boldness and uncompromising message of saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 18, for Paul, the most important thing was that Christ was being preached. The name of Jesus, the name above every name, was being lifted up high. Paul was rejoicing in that. The measure of a great leader and a great man of God. I trust an inspiration to us this morning that we might imitate him as he would want us to do. Let's now finish in prayer. The heading I gave to this sermon was Joy, Purpose and Blessing Through Difficult Times. Perhaps you have felt like a prisoner of this COVID pandemic. We don't know what lies ahead, so let's take this wonderful letter to the Philippians, jam-packed as it is with joy, to our hearts and lives, that we might know and have the joy of Jesus in a fuller sense in all our daily struggles. I'd like to use the words of our other Bible reading, Psalm 67. Make it your prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Amen.
Let's respond to God's word with a wonderful new song called Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. After this, Paul's wife Leslie will lead us in prayer.
Christ is ours forevermore. As we come to our time of prayer together today, first some words of encouragement from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are my strength and my shield, that when I trust in you, I am helped. So help us now to draw near to you in faith, that as we come to you in prayer, we will trust you with the things that are on our hearts. As we celebrate GAFCON Sunday, we pray for the work and ministry of GAFCON. We pray for its global mission to restore the Bible to the heart of the Anglican Communion and to proclaim the unchanging, transforming gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We give thanks for this ministry. Pray that you will prosper it, Lord. Using the PrayerMate app, we can access news and prayer requests from GAFCON. And so we're going to pray for a couple of things that have been on there this week. First of all, we're going to pray for the financial needs of GAFCON. We pray that these will be met by generous and cheerful giving and that you will prosper its work. Show us how we should support this work and then help us to know what and how to give and then to do it with glad hearts. We pray as requested for the work of the ministry to orphans, especially in the Congo. We pray for the families who are hosting these children. We pray that you will bless them and give them all wisdom. And we pray that these children will find love and security in their host families. But most of all, we pray that your Holy Spirit will help them to hear the good news of Jesus, that they will see that he is their friend and will come to accept him as Lord and Saviour, and so to be adopted into your family and no longer an orphan. We pray too for clergy families who are struggling, especially in countries where they rely on giving in collections. At a time when people are not meeting together regularly, we pray that somehow you will provide for all the financial needs that they have. We pray that they might be able to support and look after their families. And we pray for the work of GAFCON in this. We pray for the church in our land at this time, that people will return to the truth of the gospel and stand firm in the word of God. We pray for our bishops and leaders, for the conviction of your Holy Spirit in their lives, that they will lead us in spirit and in truth. We also pray for the primates of GAFCON. We pray for godly wisdom given to them, that they may lead us in the ways of all truth. We also pray for John and Mim Parker as they seek to set up the Cornerstone Church in Colchester. We pray for your wisdom, for your leading and your timing, and for your provision. We ask, Lord, that you bless John and Mim at this time, and that you provide everything that they need from you. Perhaps a moment of quiet now as we bring those GAFCON prayers together. And then we continue to pray for our land in this time of difficulty. We pray for our government to lead clearly and strongly for the benefit of all and for the health and well-being of our nation. We pray for all those who are really struggling with the restrictions of the COVID pandemic, for the lonely and bereaved. We pray that you will draw near to them, Lord. And we pray for those who are behaving in a selfish and antisocial way, putting lives at risk. We pray for the police, for the ambulance service, paramedics and the fire service, who are the first responders. We continue to pray for all NHS workers exhausted by the sheer scale of patients needing expert care. We pray for their families and friends who are tired but are trying to keep on supporting them. Then we pray for our fellowship here in Fordham and 8 Ash Green, that we will look out for one another and seek to be partners together in the gospel, bringing God's kingdom here in this place for his glory. We pray for all we know who are unwell in mind or body, for those recovering, for all facing uncertainty in matters of health. And again, a moment of quiet for you to bring those you know who need our prayers at this time. The second part of verse 7, Psalm 28, says, "My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song." Give us glad and grateful hearts this week, Lord, as we see you answer our prayers. Help us to bring everything to you, because we can trust in you, because you are our strength and our shield. We pray that you will put a song of joy in our hearts, and that you will help us to serve you as partners in the gospel, as you call us to do. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We finish our prayers by saying together the Lord's Prayer, which is printed on page 2 of the service sheet. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we come towards the end of this podcast, some church family news items. On pages 9 and 10 of the notice sheet, you can find out more about GAFCON. I get short prayer points through the GAFCON prayer network each day, and I encourage you to join in with that as well. The GAFCON movement is founded on the Jerusalem Declaration. This is part of our own church ministry declaration, which we ask those who serve in our church to sign. It's printed in the notice sheet, and I encourage you to read and think about its meaning. You can join both the global movement and the UK branch of GAFCON if you subscribe to the declaration. Links to both web pages are included in the notice sheet. Christianity Explored continues this coming Wednesday evening, 7:30 p.m. This week's session is entitled Grace. Please pray for this ministry to be fruitful. And this Thursday, join us for our monthly prayer focus meeting on Zoom, 7:30 to 9:15 p.m. I'll open the Zoom channel for chat from about 7:20. We'll pray together for the needs of our church and ministries over the summer. And we look forward to Sandy and Kirsten Russell leading us in prayer for their ministry to Kurdistan. The Zoom link will be emailed out by Wednesday. It's with sadness that I announce that Chris and Ruth Reynolds will be leaving us this summer. Our congratulations go to Chris for his new appointment as Professor of Therapeutics and Disease Prevention at Coventry University. Chris and Ruth are key members of our church and will leave a big gap in our community. Chris is on the church council, they run one of our growth groups in Wivenhoe, and Ruth has served faithfully as our schools worker for a decade. They're looking to buy a house near to Coventry, but because of the lockdown, it looks like Chris will actually start his new post this July online before they move. So they'll hopefully be around with us for a few more months. Ruth finishes formally as the church schools worker at the end of this school term, but she may well continue to produce her much appreciated All Saints Club videos for a little longer. please pray for a godly man to be appointed as the next Bishop of Chelmsford. You're invited to contribute personally to the wide diocesan consultation that's going on at the moment regarding the needs of the diocese in regard to the next bishop. The deadline for submissions is next Saturday, the 4th of July, and full details are on page 8. This Wednesday, there's going to be an online public meeting with the Archbishops of Canterbury and York and the Prime Minister's Appointments Secretary. To join in, you need to register through Eventbrite, and the web link is on page 7. You may have heard last week that the government has given permission for church buildings to reopen from next weekend. We're waiting for more detailed guidance on what is required so that services and children's ministry can be COVID safe. We do know that we won't be permitted to sing. The PCC is meeting this Tuesday, and I'll keep you updated as things develop. This coming Sunday service will follow our current format: podcast, children's video, followed by Zoom virtual coffee. I'll be preaching on Christ-centered choices from Philippians chapter 1, and John Bradley will lead the service. Well, let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, as we enter into a new week, we offer ourselves to you for the advance of your gospel. Use us as your witnesses during this pandemic, in the places where we work and the places where we live. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.